With the 25th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select. It could be better than a fantasy.
I got my levels out of place last night. Was a long one, looking for a quick fix, looking for a shortcut. But if I want a game plan for the long run, what do I bring to the table? Said dumb luck. There's a good chance the last thing I pick up will show up in my sleep and crash all my dreams with some shit I won't repeat, cause it's not what I'm proud of. Some heaviness, some pettiness, and things I'm ashamed of.
It's been a while, but we're back. Welcome to the Unnamed Draft Podcast, because we still haven't figured out a name for this thing. Right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia, Joe Rakowski, Kyle Bennett. What's going on, brother?
What's going on, bro? It really sucks that we still haven't gotten a name.
I know.
Screw that guy that took our name. I can't remember who it was, but we'll figure one out. Don't worry. We'll get one before the draft. Don't worry.
Maybe let the people decide. Tweet us name ideas at UndergroundPHI. But the combine is over. Some interesting results from the combine, to say the least. DK Metcalf is not human. Montez Sweat is unbelievable.
Also not human.
And Josh Jacobs, our baby, did not perform at the combine, which could be good news for the Eagles.
That would be good. We'll talk about it more, but DK Metcalf, to me, great athlete, not huge on him. I think he was the second best receiver at Ole Miss behind AJ Brown, and I was really sad to see Montez Sweat go off like he did, because I've been big on him since I've been watching him, and I just don't think after the performance he put in he'll be available at 25.
He could potentially be a top 10 pick now, which is crazy. Absolutely. He absolutely put on a show. Josh Jacobs doesn't participate in much at all. Kyler Murray apparently flunked every interview but the Cardinals, and yeah, so just looking at, you know, some of the results, 4.29, the fastest 40 this year. John Ross still has the best time at 4.22 from 2017, but Zedrick Woods from Mississippi wins the combine 40-yard dash this year. The bench press gets won by Isua Opita from Weber State, 39 reps, O-lineman. That's going to help his stock, because I don't think he was very well known coming into the combine, but for him to put up 39 and be from a much smaller school, I think that's big time for his stock. And
absolutely,
you know, especially with a bunch of teams needing offensive line help, it's only going to help him.
And our guy, who I think we're going to get in the first round, came in second in the bench press, Dexter Lawrence with 36. Loved his effort. I don't know if you saw the video, but that guy was throwing around the 225 like it was a stick. I love him. The more I watch him, the more I watch his tape, I fall in love with him even more. And I really hope we get him. He's a real difference maker on the D-line. He was seen as more of a hole clogger in college, but I think he's shown that he's athletic and versatile enough to make more of a difference in that capacity on the defensive side.
And some interesting results from the bench press, too. A running back finishes fourth, tied for fourth. Alex Barnes from Kansas State puts 34 up on the bench press. So need a strong
sign
running back.
Sign him up.
It's going to be Alex Barnes 100%, because that man just knows how to bench press. Let's take a look here at the vertical jump, because I know a lot of people were freaking out about this. Juan Thornhill from Virginia, the safety, 44 for the height. Falls 1 inch shy of the record set by Chris Conley in 2015. Miles Boykin finishes second. Emmanuel Hall tied for second. Ken Webster and Marvell Tell round out the top five for the vertical jump. The broad jump, Emmanuel Hall, Juan Thornhill finish tied for first. Miles Boykin finishes third. Marvell Tell fourth. And Corey Ballantyne finishes fifth. And then we have the three-cone drill. David Long, corner from Michigan, finishes first. Marvell Tell, again, on the list at second. Easton Stick, the quarterback from North Dakota State. Carson Wentz's
backup,
little prodigy. You know, He finishes third, so that's kind of cool to see, you know, quarterback in the top five there. Elijah Holder from Stanford finishes fourth. Julian Love, fifth, corner from Notre Dame. The 20-yard shuttle, top five. David Long, Taylor Rapp, a safety from Washington. Marvell Tell, once again, his stock's only going to shoot up now. Cody Barton, a linebacker from Utah. And then wide receiver Paris Campbell from Ohio State, along with Cody Thompson, wide receiver from Toledo. They all finish tied for fourth. And then your 60-yard shuttle, Taylor Rapp, Max Crosby, who's a D lineman from Eastern Michigan, Hunter Renfro, wide receiver from Clemson, and Cody Thompson, wide receiver from Toledo, finished tied for third. And then Lucas Dennis and Will Harris tied for fifth with the 60-yard shuttle. What were your biggest takeaways kind of just overall from the combine and what we can potentially expect from Howie Roseman now that he's been, you know, restructuring the cap and all that good stuff?
Well, I saw, obviously the Eagles let go Tim Jernigan the other day, not electing to pick up his option for next year. And I thought that was very telling for what Howie's position is going into this draft. I think, as me and you've talked about privately and both on the first podcast, I believe they're going to go D-line with the first pick. I really like Dexter Lawrence, as I mentioned earlier. And your guy, or our guy, Connor Miles, he put out a mock draft that had the Eagles taking Devin Bush in the first round, Dexter Lawrence in the second, David Montgomery in the third, or with the second pick. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And I just think that this is a great opportunity to build the defensive side of the ball. I would love to get Josh Jacobs. He's obviously the best running back in the class. Didn't participate in the combine. Really showed out towards the end of the year for Alabama, though. I really think, though, I'm going to stay true. They're going D-line with the first pick. As you saw, Montez Sweat, he absolutely killed it. Probably going to go top 10, like you said. And it's just, you know, when you have this type of class where almost every guy in the first round is special, whether you're taking them at 1 or 30, you just can't pass up on that, especially in the Eagles situation where they have a ton of picks. They have a lot of holes that they need to fill, a lot of questions. Michael Bennett, is he coming back or not? They're obviously not going to bring back Lodi Nada. Derek Barnett's shoulder injury, will he be as good as he was when he comes back?
Brandon Graham is back.
Brandon Graham is back, obviously, since the last time we've spoken. Mm-hmm. They re-signed him. I would love to take the opportunity, though. Build that defensive line. That's what Jim Schwartz's scheme is built around. You need to have depth there. Every guy should be getting 30 to 40 snaps a game. And they just need to build from there. Build from the inside out. You know, the games are won in the trenches. That's where they need to go.
Definitely agree. And, you know, I think it's funny. A lot of people kind of getting thrown for a tizzy when these, you know, draft analysts are putting out their mock drafts. And a lot of people saying Josh Jacobs round one to the Eagles. And people are like, oh, I would hate this pick. You know, da-da-da-da-da. I wouldn't mind it, especially now that BG is back. You know, that kind of helps solidify a little bit of the defensive line question marks that you have. And we both love Josh Jacobs. But now, since he didn't perform at the combine, like, didn't participate much, I think you can wait till the second round to potentially get him now. And, like you said, either go O-line or D-line. And I think that all depends on Jason Peters as well with his $13 million cap hit and if they decide to bring him back or not.
Absolutely. And another reason why you can wait on Josh in the first round is because there's been a lot of chatter recently about the Eagles being interested in Cleveland Browns running back Duke Johnson. I think he would be a great replacement for Darren Sproles if Sproles elects to retire. And, you know, not saying that it's very likely, because I think there's probably at this point less than a 20% chance that this happens, but obviously with the Bryce Harper stuff going on last week, Pittsburgh running back who didn't play last year reached out.
Former Steeler
reached out and has been kind of flirting with the idea of maybe putting on the midnight green and coming here. Do I love Le'Veon? Absolutely. I've had him on my fantasy team a couple times and he's won me some money. But if he's asking for $13, $14 million a year, then I'm going to have to pass.
See, my case with Le'Veon is this. Howie's been doing all these moves with the cap, you know, restructuring Lane Johnson, giving Jason Kelce and Isaac Seumalo their extensions that help, you know, clear up some cap space. If I'm Le'Veon Bell, I'm going to a team that I think has the possibility of winning this year and kind of just getting that money back that I lost from last year from sitting out, which I don't think was the worst decision. You know, everybody blew that up out of the water. Like, I was totally okay with Le'Veon sitting out and, you know, proving a point that he should be getting paid what he deserves to get paid. Like, secure your bag, as Bryce Harper said.
Yeah.
I would take Le'Veon on that big money if it's a short-term deal. Say, like, a 1-1 or a 2-year deal or something like that. Give him, you know, $14, $15 million a year for 1 or 2 years and see how he works, which I think he would be flawless in Doug's offense. I was also intrigued because Jeff McClain was on WIP the other day and talking to Angelo, and he said, you know, I'm working on something. Something big is coming. I just can't report it yet. I'm clearing up the details, but something's coming soon. So I'm like, ears up, like, yeah, waiting, like, what is this? Like, you know, we have 6 days until the new league year starts when all these moves can become official.
The tampering period is coming up.
Yeah, next week that starts. So that'll be fun to kind of just see what exactly happens. We'll see if Nelson Agholor gets an extension to clear up some more cap space.
Maybe he gets traded.
Potentially. That could happen as well. There's a lot that could happen between now, as we record this on March 7th, and Monday when the legal tampering period opens. So I'm excited just because it's going to be, you know, the NFL free agent period is a lot different from MLB. Any other sport,
yeah,
truthfully. And it's just like quick, you know, moving things. And some guys don't always stick with the team that they're reported to be going to, as we know with Eagles legend Frank Gore. You know, he was here for 3 hours.
Great career here.
And then jettisoned himself to Indianapolis. But it's going to be exciting, intriguing, especially with all these moves Howie's made these past few days to kind of clear up some cap space, which makes you think some sort of big move is coming. And then once those moves are done, then we'll get a clear landscape of what this draft could really look like for the Eagles.
Exactly. And going back to what you said about Le'Veon, I don't really kill him about what he did this past year, because if you look at the season before when he originally played on the first tag, he got over 300 carries. And obviously we know how dangerous he is in the pass catching game. Like, if you're going to give the guy 300 carries, that's taxing on a running back. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of carries. That's a lot of hits to be taken. And
we saw what happened with DeMarco Murray the year. He had over 400
absolutely.
Carries.
And I feel like if he would have went back to the Steelers last year, they would have done the exact same thing. They would have ran him 300 times. They would have ran him into the ground, gotten all the use that they could out of him, and then they would have let him go. And for him to, you know, stand his ground, not sign the tender, and now he's going to get his bag this year. And I like the player. I think he's a good guy. I don't think he's a bad dude. And also, if you saw what happened yesterday, where Jamal Adams said, mm-hmm. "Yo, this isn't the NBA. You can't be forming super teams." Blah blah
blah. Tweeted at all the free agents out there.
And Le'Veon's like, "Oh, so you wouldn't like it if we came to New York?" That's, to me, bad on Jamal Adams.
Totally.
Because Jamal Adams
is like the voice of that team,
essentially. Yeah, exactly.
He's the most active on social media. He's the one out there promoting the team. He's the one out there tackling mascots.
Exactly. And for him to come out and, you know, basically not
bash
Le'Veon. I was going to say not insult, but insult Le'Veon. You know, that's not good for the Jets, who have a ton of money. They're in a rebuild. And I'm just trying to think of off the top of my head the market that Le'Veon's going to have. And after the 2016 draft class that was in Philadelphia, it was the 2017 draft that was in Philadelphia, you know, the running back position is pretty deep in the league now. There's a lot of really good young running backs.
And there's a lot coming out this year, next year, the
absolutely.
Year after. So.
Absolutely. So his market, I feel like, can dry up at some point if he doesn't, you know, take the big money from the Jets or whatever.
And you saw it with the Steelers, too, because they drafted one of those running backs in that 2017 draft, and James Conner balled out this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Eagles need a running back. That's bottom line, whether it's Josh Jacobs, Le'Veon Bell. I feel like it's likely they get Duke Johnson. I really do.
Me too.
I think there's a good possibility for that. And you know, maybe even it's David Montgomery from Iowa State.
Benny Snell.
He's not exactly the fastest guy. I think he ran like a 4.6 in the combine. But that's what they need, a LeGarrette type. They need somebody who can get in between the tackles. Because to be honest, Josh Adams, as much as everybody loves him for being the local kid, he was averaging about 2 yards a carry for a majority of the games last year. And they
couldn't really squeeze through the trenches at all.
Absolutely. And, you know, that was the biggest part of why Carson had the year he had in 2017 was because of the fact that the run game was so versatile. LeGarrette and Corey obviously had good years.
And then Ajay.
Yeah, exactly. So they need somebody who can pass block, somebody who can catch out of the backfield. They need somebody who's good in between the tackles, and I feel like they could get that guy, whether it's in free agency or the draft.
I couldn't agree more with the pass blocking thing, because you look at last year, Darren Sproles is your best pass blocker, and he's 5'6". Like, that shouldn't be the case. Like,
yeah, it's terrible.
You need a guy that can do it all. Le'Veon does it all. There's potentially a guy out in Arizona that might get traded in David Johnson.
Yep.
Potentially, I wouldn't mind him on this Eagles team if we can finagle a trade with that. But the four teams that I've seen linked with Le'Veon Bell as of yesterday are the Eagles, the Colts, the Jets, and Tampa Bay. And I don't think Tampa Bay is going to go in for Le'Veon just because they have so many other issues that they need to worry about, including figuring out if Jameis Winston is their guy. And, you know, with Bruce Arians, and I just don't think they're going to be willing to dish out, you know, $10 million plus dollar contracts per year to free agents this year. You saw they cut Vinnie Curry after a year. So that kind of tells you the direction that Tampa's trying to go. The Colts, I don't think, will be an option, because I think they found their guy in Marlon Mack last year. He kind of put on a show for everybody, and I think he's their guy. And I think it's down to the Jets and the Eagles, and it's going to be a matter of, does Le'Veon want to win, or does he want the most money? And I wouldn't fault him either way.
Yeah, and you know, he's said he wants the most money, and that could be just his way of getting out of Pittsburgh. I think that Pittsburgh's locker room is very toxic, and, you know, for some reason, the media and the fans around the league don't really want to put that blame on Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
It just seems like, you know, Antonio Brown's got a problem with him, Le'Veon had a problem with him. It just seems like everybody's willing to put it on those players. It's Antonio's fault. It's Le'Veon's fault, but they don't want to put the blame on Ben Roethlisberger, when, to be honest, over the last couple of years, Ben hasn't looked that great, you know? 2 years ago, he had that 5-interception game against Jacksonville, and then he blew the playoff game that year in 2017, the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and he didn't have that great of a year last year either. And I just think that the Steelers are downward trending. I think Mike Tomlin's overstayed his welcome there. Even though he is one of the better coaches around
the league. I feel really bad for Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I just feel like he's been there for so long that, like, I don't want to say the players don't listen to him, because I have no idea. I'm not a Steelers fan. I haven't been there. But it just seems like over the last 2 or 3 years, that organization and team has been trending downward, and they need a reboot. Mm-hmm. They need a new coach, a new quarterback, a new culture. And maybe it was just Le'Veon's way of getting out of there. You know, Le'Veon could always sign with the Eagles and say, it was never about the money. It was about winning, and I didn't see Pittsburgh going deep, obviously, with New England and Jacksonville and everything.
Right.
So maybe he comes here and looks for a ring. Who knows?
And then you have, you know, Le'Veon's teammate. There were rumors he's potentially getting traded by tomorrow. You had Cleveland Browns players on Twitter the other day saying that their GM is a genius. He's a wizard, so who knows what that means. Could it be Antonio Brown? Could it be OBJ? Could it be a number of things? That could also change the market for the wide receivers in this draft, too. Whether it's DK Metcalf, whether it's a Hunter Renfrow later on in the draft,
N'Keal Harry,
that.
something like that.
The Antonio Brown sweepstakes could change the landscape of how the draft formulates, probably, I'd say, mid to late round one and onward, depending on where he goes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really happy you touched on the wide receiver class, because we have a guy who's being paid $9 million this year, Nelson Aguilar, in his fifth-year option, I believe. And to me, so the Eagles, I was listening on the way here and listening to Jody and John Ritchie talk about it on WIP, and they brought up a pretty interesting point that I agreed with, and it's, you know, I think that the Eagles at this point are done restructuring salaries. Like, free agency starts next week, tampering period starts next week. I think they're done with that. So to me, it seems like maybe Aguilar might be traded, and in which case, if they do trade Aguilar, I was very impressed in the combine with Ohio State wide receiver Paris Campbell. Mm-hmm. He played H-back in college, so pretty much all he did was take dump-offs and end-rounds and stuff, but I was really impressed with the way he ran routes. He ran a 4.32, so he's fast. And, you know, somebody tweeted at me saying that he's got brick hands, but to be honest, he was catching the ball with consistency at the combine. And I really like, if he can develop as a route runner, better hands, he could be the perfect replacement for Nelson Aguilar. He's faster. I think that he might be able to play outside, which is something that Nelson couldn't do in his career with the Eagles. That would be a good solution in the draft if they do decide to move on from Nelly.
And if they move on from him, you get a guy like that in the draft, what would you say, like third round,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, third round probably.
I also wouldn't mind trading one of those fourth round picks for former Eagle DeSean Jackson.
Yep.
Because if you can bring him in, he's a guy that can totally play on the outside, and I think he'd be a perfect complement to Alshon Jeffrey.
I definitely agree. Obviously, they're not bringing back Golden Tate.
There's no way.
Pretty much
even
done.
If Aguilar gets traded, I think Golden Tate is long gone.
And yeah, when you look at the roster, I mean, without Nelson, without Golden Tate, they got Alshon and Zach Ertz, basically, are the two guys.
Yeah, unknown in Mac Hollins.
Yeah, who didn't play at all last year. Dallas Goedert showed flashes last year. I think he's going to have a bright future ahead. But you're right. They need to figure out who's going to be that guy who takes the top off the defense. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be a burner. You know, you don't always need the fastest guy on the field to do that. You just need somebody who's good at getting behind secondary. And they didn't have that last year. You know, Nick Foles showed his ability to throw the deep ball when he came in. That's like his thing, though. But when Carson was in, it was like everything was 15, 10 yards, you know.
And I think a lot of that was he still wasn't comfortable with the knee.
Yep.
And then he got injured with his back. So he wasn't able to kind of perform the way we all anticipated following the season he had last year. So I think when you look at, you know, Carson Wentz and the deep ball struggles he had, I would 98% of it attribute that to the injury.
Yeah, absolutely. They have the offense struggled last year, obviously, a lot. And they need young. See, they have the easy, or they have the hard part to find. The hard part is the franchise quarterback, you know. And through his first 3 years, they haven't taken care of him. It's like buying a Lamborghini and you're just going to go play, you know, bumper. You're going to go bumper cars with it. You know, you need to take care of your Lamborghini. You know, the insurance is high. You total your Lamborghini, that's $1 million gone down the drain. They need to do a better job of taking care of Carson Wentz. Get him a pass blocking running back. Get him two good receivers. Alshon is a good receiver. I'm talking young. They need two guys that are going to be here for the foreseeable future. You know, Ben had Hines Ward. He had Antonio Brown. Now Plexico he's got Burris. Juju. Plexico Burress.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Antoine Randall L.
Santonio Holmes.
Like, yeah, exactly.
The numbers of receivers that the Steelers have had are absurd.
Yeah, and he's had Jerome Bettis, James Conner, Le'Veon Bell. And that's what the Eagles need. They need to find guys who are going to be here for Carson. That needs to – they have the centerpiece. Mm-hmm. Now they need to build around it, similar to how the Sixers have built around Joel Embiid. That needs to be priority one.
And I think 100%. They've started to do that in a sense. Like, you know, a lot of those pieces before Carson got here were already here. You look at Jason Kelce. You look at Jason Peters. You know, they bring in Brandon Brooks.
They've had Lane Johnson.
You're potentially developing Isaac Seumalo to finally take that next step. You kind of invest, you know, some good hope and good faith in him with that extension. I think Alshon is still a very productive wide receiver, even though he's, you know, higher up in the 20s. He's still very good.
Yeah,
for,
absolutely.
You know, the type of receiver he is. I just think you need kind of that complement equal talent receiver opposite of him.
Yeah, absolutely. They need Alshon is the possession guy. You know, you throw it up to him, which is something that Carson needs to learn how to do. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
Carson has not done what Nick does, which is, you know, sometimes with those guys, you just got to let it go.
Have faith with
it. Let it go, man. Let them catch it. You know, if they don't catch it, they'll knock it down or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Or draw a flag.
Yeah, exactly. But they need an elite route runner, somebody who can turn the cornerbacks around, hit you maybe 15 yards, you're cutting across the middle, bang, like that needs to be it. They didn't really have that. You look last year, Alshon was hurt for the first four games or whatever, and then obviously Carson got hurt. Golden Tate didn't get until late in the season. He was, what, 31? Nelson struggled because
Of Golden Tate.
Yeah, because of Golden Tate. Well, and he also, to be honest, like, he was good early mm-hmm. the first couple games of the year. He had a lot of catches and stuff, but he really wasn't
a lot of yards.
Yeah, he wasn't getting a lot of yards. He couldn't play outside.
Mike Wallace got hurt in Tampa Bay, which yeah, was the second absolutely. Game of the year, and he was supposed to be, you know, Torrey Smith upgrade.
Yeah,
and so they didn't really get to use him at all.
Yeah, they need health, they need consistency, they need somebody who's going to rack in a ton of catches, a ton of yards, and they just need depth. They on the offensive side of the ball, they struggled a ton early in the year, couldn't really figure it out. I need Carson to do what he did before the 2017 year. Call up Alshon, call up whoever they draft, yada yada. Get him on out, private jet out to North Dakota, mm-hmm. and just do what Tom Brady does, man. Just run routes for a couple weeks, maybe a month.
Kind of just bond together.
Exactly. It's all about a team. It's all about the team sport. And Carson didn't get a chance to do that because he was rehabbing all last year. And if they can hit in this draft, get some good players, then that would be crucial to this team's success. Mm-hmm. So
I totally agree. And I think, like you said, if they can bring – or like, you know, we talked about bringing in a receiver in the draft – maybe trading for Deshaun, bring him back for the tail end of his career and let him finish it off where he started. I think he would be a perfect complement, and then either Nelson Agholor in the slot or a rookie in the slot. And you still have Matt Collins, who I think will rebound from the sports hernia issue that he suffered mm-hmm. with last year. But there's just this draft is a lot more talented than a lot of people are giving it credit for, and I think that's the biggest thing. We have so many picks this year, more than we've had in a long time. You really need to hit on half of it.
Yeah, I would say with this draft, their first round pick needs to be a star. Whoever it is
needs to be a starter.
Yeah, starter. But I expect more out of whoever they take in the first round. I expect to be like, you know, Fletcher or Alshon, like a star. And then their 2 second round picks need to be starters, 110%. They need to be guys that can come in and make an impact right away. And then the rest, they need probably another starter in the fourth round if they don't trade up for a third, which I doubt they will. And then it needs to be quality depth players.
You got to find guys like Avante Maddox.
Yeah, exactly. They struggled with when everybody went down and they got killed. They got pummeled by the Saints. They didn't have anybody. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the thing when they won the Super Bowl, was that whoever went down with an injury, they had somebody willing and able to step up and replace them and be good at what they do. Last year, They didn't have guys that could step up and be good right away. They had guys where they needed a couple weeks to get prepared. So that needs to be a pretty big objective for Howie, is to rebuild and replenish the depth. The D-line was thin last year. Mm-hmm. Fletcher Cox got hurt in the Saints game, and a part of that, to me, was the fact that he was playing almost 90% of the snaps. He wasn't doing that in 2017. I think he was only playing like 70, 80% of the snaps. There's a big difference, too. That's crazy. Malcolm Jenkins played
100%
of the snaps.
One of three players in the league to play 100% of the snaps for their respective team.
Exactly. And Malcolm's a guy you're not going to take off the field. You need him. Yeah. You need him there.
Especially when Rodney went down last year.
But if you can get another safety, you know what I mean? Then you can move Avante back to safety, whoever your new safety is, and then give Malcolm a few plays of rest, because Malcolm does it all. He covers. He can come in and play linebacker. He can blitz. He can stop the run. He can do everything. So then that's taxing on a player, man. That's like, you know, Brian Dawkins and Ed Reed and guys that, you know,
Polamalu.
They just don't do that anymore. Yeah. So, you know, guys like that, Malcolm's almost, I think he is 30.
Yeah,
he's close just about 30. So you want to prolong his career as long as possible. And the way to do that is depth, rotations, and that just needs to be priority number one.
Yeah, Malcolm's 31 now. He'll be 32 at the end of December.
Exactly, so. which is why I liked Landon Collins, but you didn't like Landon Collins.
Yeah, so with Landon Collins, here's my thing. He's terrible in coverage.
Absolutely, horrible.
He was like the worst safety in coverage when it came to, you know, him being the only person covering a player. And with this Eagles team and the way Jim Schwartz plays the defense, you need guys that can cover.
Yeah.
Because you're playing, you know, that zone defense where you're playing off man. And I just think, do I think Landon Collins is a great player? Absolutely. I just don't think he's a schematic fit for what Jim Schwartz and Doug Peterson are doing, building this defense. And me personally, my hottest take when it comes to Landon Collins is he's going to turn into Mark Barron, because Mark Barron also couldn't really cover as a safety. You move him to linebacker, and he's been a pretty successful linebacker in the league. Landon Collins can hit. He can, you know, man-to-man cover like that and kind of just take you down and
stop the run.
Rock your boat. So I think eventually Landon Collins could, and with the way the league's going too, where you need those athletic linebackers, I think Landon Collins could end up being a linebacker somewhere down the road rather than a safety.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say that he would be a great replacement for Nate Gary,
mm-hmm.
because Nate Gary, I believe he went to Stanford,
mm-hmm.
converted from safety to middle linebacker or outside linebacker. I actually think he went to Wisconsin, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Landon Collins would be a good substitute for him.
Nebraska.
Landon Collins is 50 times the player that Nate Gary is. And, you know, if you can bring him in and approve a deal and maybe say, you know what, we don't see you as a safety, but we do need a linebacker. We've had Nate Gary, former safety, play linebacker for us. He was I'm not going to call him successful because he wasn't. But
he was better last year.
Yeah, absolutely. But you would be a fine replacement for him. Mm-hmm. Yada, yada. You play the Giants twice a year. Good chance to stick it to him. You're 25. We see you a part of our team, blah, blah, blah. And I thought that he would be a great addition. They need linebackers. And like you said, I could see him being a linebacker. He's a big safety. Can't really cover at all. Lays the wood. He would be a good replacement, I think.
I totally agree. And, you know, there's going to be a lot more clear path to what this team's going to do in the draft following next week with the legal tampering period and free agency and everything. So Joe and I are going to touch on that next week. I think that's going to wrap it up. You know, the combine's done now. We kind of have the combine results, kind of have in mind who the Eagles could be targeting now. Definitely think their top priorities are D-line, O-line, running back, whatever order you want to throw that in with those first three picks. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, especially, you know, once Monday hits, then we'll get,
excited. I want to know, because right now we're kind of talking here and we're kind of laying in the woods because we don't really know what Howie has planned. Next week we'll have a better idea of what's to come, what has happened, and it'll be a good time. It'll be good.
It's like you're in the cornfield and you just have the scythe waiting to cut through and finally see the light at the end of the tunnel, but... I think that's going to do it for this edition of the Unnamed Draft Podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. So for Joe, I'm Kyle. We are signing off. Peace.